Right, there's no extra charge for the club in the second class,
no,
right?
No, not for the first class either. I think everything's free, as far as I know.
Okay.
Gemara Pesachim, yeah. We'll find for you.
Yeah, here.
All right?
Okay, sure.
So, Rabbi Osai, where are we up to? We're up to Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. And I'm excited because I'm hoping that we'll do Kuf Ches tonight, if we move at a decent speed. And Kuf Ches really gets us heavy into the Leil HaSeder, which I've been very eager to get into. So now we're up to Iboilahu on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Now, just to give you a little background.
I was thinking last Shabbat about the halal, that it's also the one that we're doing at home, that it's for muttering me to eat in the Surat Chol. So.
Okay, great. It's Mati the Surat Chol. Iboilahu is two lines below the end of the daf. And let's just hold a place and go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the beginning of Arei Pesachim tells us that we should be starving ourselves on Erev Pesach. And from what point on should we be starving ourselves? Again, that's in inverted commas. We're going to try to see what that means. It's from Samuch Lemincha. Okay? Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, 107a. Or on the bottom, the last two lines. So what do we have here? Samach l'mincha. So samach means a half hour before mincha. But what does mincha mean?
Which mincha?
Exactly. That's the Gemara's suffer. Iboilahu. Samach l'mincha gdolatnan, odilma samach l'mincha ktanatnan. The concept of mincha on the clock is something that is ambiguous. The word mincha should never be used because you can confuse somebody. You don't know what the word mincha means. Mincha might be mincha gedola, which means noontime. Okay, in the case of samach l'mincha, technically mincha gedola really begins a half hour after noon. Now that doesn't necessarily mean 12:30 on the clock, because there's some kinds of called... Right, it's called Shol Zmanios. We're not going to get into that. Right, it changes during the year, and how many, you know, when does the sun rise, when does the sun set, etc. But just in a perfect day, it would be at 12:30. 12:30 would be Mincha Gedola. And that's obviously a larger, an expanded period of Mincha, and therefore it's called Mincha Gedola. It's called Mincha Gedola also because it's the earliest time that you could possibly bring what's called the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. Every day there were two Tamidim. There was a carbon Tamid that was brought in the morning and another carbon Tamid that was brought in the afternoon. That's called Bein Arbaim. The earliest time that you could actually bring that carbon Tamid, and that's a sugya in Pesachim Adaf Nun Vav, is what we call Mincha Gedola. Mincha Gedola means, technically it's called meaning Sheishos in a perfect day is the end of the sixth hour going into the seventh hour. So the sixth hour ends at noontime, then you enter into the seventh hour, and a half hour between the end of the sixth hour and the end of the seventh hour, thank you so much, that's called the earliest time for the Korban Mincha. In the Gemara's term, the Gemara's terminology is that you have a wall, a kotel, and when the sun hits its zenith, you don't see the shade. As soon as the sun moves a little bit towards the west, meaning towards, begins setting, again, we're very far away from setting, but it begins setting, it tilts a little bit, at that point, you begin to see a shadow. That's called a tzlil. And once that sail is seen, that's a half hour after noon, and that's the earliest time you could bring the Korban Shel Bein Arbaim. Samach l'mincha gedola means a half hour earlier, that's noontime. Now the Gemara is going to analyze why we would be fasting as early as noontime. If we're trying to get our appetite ready for matzah, it doesn't seem logical that we have to start starving ourselves so early. So we have to understand why the Gemara thinks in one side that maybe as early as Samach l'mincha gedola you have to refrain from eating. Just one second. Odilma, the Gemara says, the other side is samuch l'mincha ktana tanan. So let's just discuss for a minute before we get to questions, just to get the structure of the Gemara. Mincha ktana is halfway between noon and sunset. Okay? Now, if we divide that period of time, so we have the seventh hour, right, which would be, let's say, 1 to 2 an hour clock, right? The seventh hour, the eighth hour, and the beginning of the ninth hour. So the beginning of the ninth hour becomes what's called Mincha Ktana. However, Samach L'Mincha Ktana means a half hour before Mincha Ktana. So that would mean 8.5 hours. You follow? It's a half hour before we hit the ninth hour. Okay? I remember. Oh, so now the Gemara wants to know, why would you say this? Why would you say that? What's the logic that compels you to assume Mincha Gdola? What's the logic that tilts in favor of Mincha Ktana? The Gemara says the following. Samach L'Mincha Ktana... I'm sorry. Samach L'Mincha Gdola Tnan. The Mishnah logically refers to Mincha Gdola. And already at noontime, I stop eating. Why? Mishum Pesach. Okay, now we get into the laws of Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach has to be slaughtered, and the earliest time for slaughtering the Korban Pesach is noontime. If a Korban Pesach is, we'll soon see later, there's a machlokas about this, but right now the Gemara is assuming that if you were to slaughter the Korban Pesach in the morning, even late in the morning, that would not be kosher, that would not be valid. The reason for that is because the Torah says that lo tishchar es hachametz lo tishchar es hapesach al hachametz, meaning as long as you know you have chametz around, you can't shech the pesach. You have to get rid of all your chametz, and at that point you shech the korban pesach. And the moment, the earliest moment you have to get rid of your chametz is noontime. That's derived from a pasuk ach. Does anybody remember this achilek? That's in the first parak of Pesachim, which we learned. Oh, we didn't learn. Okay, anyway. So that's the story of the korban pesach. So as soon as we get to the time period that's fit, that's suitable for korban pesach, that coincides with the Iser Achila that tells us we're not going to be involved in eating. You get involved in eating, and you have a suda, and you eat the banquet, you get distracted, and who knows what's going to happen with the korban pesach. And that's the Gemara's language. Dilma Asi Lemimshach. Lemimshach is a phrase that's used in the Gemara all over the place. Nimshach bisuda. So he gets carried away and extends his suda. The Asi, and now we're turning to Taf Kuf Zayin Amid Beis. The Asi Leimnue Milamevad Pischa. He may be distracted to the point where he doesn't bring his Korban Pesach. That's one side of the Gemara. Therefore, we should be very careful about not getting involved in Seuda as early as midday, which is the time period in which you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach. That's the earliest time for the Korban Pesach.
That's not a Te'avon issue.
Oh, that's the first side. It's not a Te'avon issue. It's a Nimshach Besudaso, and therefore, Asi Limnue Milamevad Pischa. Wait, there was just one thing I wanted to add, and I forgot. Oh. Here's an interesting discussion. It's really not a sugya here, it's a sugya in Tamid Nishchat. We said that the earliest time for the Tamid Shalbein Arbaim is when? A half hour after Chatzos. Now, the Gemara establishes that the Korban Pesach should be shechted after the Tamid. That's very complicated because usually the Tamid ends the service in the Mikdash. There's no Korbanos that are brought after the Korban Tamid Shalbein Arbaim. Olea Hashlem is called Korbanos Kula. But the exception to that rule is Korban Pesach. Now, if I tell you that Korban Pesach could be shechted after the Tamid, then when is the earliest time for the Korban Pesach? It's got to be 12:30. Here the Gemara assumes that the earliest time for the Korban Pesach is 12 noon. And this question is raised by all the Rishonim. I'll read to you a summary of their answer. He says, Bizman Azeh, meaning from Samach L'Mincha, Mincha Gdola, Kvar Efshar L'Hakriv Korban Pesach. Hagam, he says, even though, L'Chatchila, we should not bring the Korban Pesach earlier than Sheva Umechza, that means midway into the seventh hour. Ki af kishechal b'erev Shabbos haya karban tamid kare b'sheva umechza v'rak acharov hischilu b'akrovas ha-pesach. In other words, even in the earliest case scenario, when they were very, very nervous about the time, and therefore they brought the Korban Tomei Shel Beit Arbaim at the earliest possible time, that's called Erev Shabbos. Even on Erev Shabbos, they didn't bring the Korban Tomei before Sheva Umechtza, that means midway into the seventh hour, meaning the sixth hour ends at noon, and the seventh hour is between noon and 1 o'clock on our clock. Verakli Achrov, and only afterwards they finished with the Korban Tomid, then they got involved in bringing the Korban Pesach, and came Lechora, Hoya Osur Lechol Achila, Rak Misheva Umechtza. But the answer is that B'dieved, if let's say you shechted the Korban Pesach before the Tomid, the Korban Pesach is kosher. So the time period, technically, for kashrus, for the valid bringing of the Korban Pesach, is from Chatzos. And therefore, at that period of time, we prohibit, according to this Tzad, the Gemara, Achila. O Dilma, Somach L'mincha K'tana T'nan. Or maybe we should wait for 9.5 hours. Why Mishum Matzah? Because the whole reason we want you to starve yourself in Erev Pesach is so that you should eat matzah L'teyavon. That's what the Rashbam says at the beginning of our perek. But here the Gemara seems to toot a different horn. Look at the next 5 words of the Gemara. The Gemara says that if you're going to get involved in eating past 9.5 hours of the day, Dilma Osi L'michla Matzah Achila Gasa. Okay, now this throws a monkey wrench on everything we've been assuming until now. We thought that you shouldn't be involved in achil at that point because you want to make sure that you have an appetite and you eat the matzah with a lot of gusto. But now the Gemara is raising a different issue, and that's called achila gasa. So let me read to you a summary of the Nemuke Yosef, one of the great Sephardic Rishonim. And he writes, Shlosha mine achilosein. The halachic definition of eating breaks down into 3 categories. Category number 1 is achila l'teyavon. When you're really, really hungry, that's called a mitzvah min hamuvchar. That's the best way of doing a mitzvah. Then we go down a level, and that's called achila al hasova, which means that although he's not totally filled, his belly has food in it, so he gets a little bit of enjoyment. He's not starving. He's not, you know, eating it with full taiva, but he does have hana from it. And then we get to the 3rd level, and that's called achila gasa. Achila gasa means that he's absolutely satiated. He really doesn't have room in his belly, but he eats anyway. I don't think anyone here is going to be willing to admit that they fit into that category.
Depends what the dessert is.
Right, of achila gasa. But it's really tempting because once you get involved in achila, you never know where it's going to end up, where it's going to take you. And then after your wife, Baruch Hashem, served, you know, 7-course meal, then she brings out the dessert that Michael mentioned. That's mamish and achila gasa, but that's what we do. So achila gasa, says the Muki Yosef, lav shmei achila. It's not considered achila. In other words, the Gemara here is very nervous about something that's far-fetched, in a sense. The Gemara is going really far. The Gemara is saying that if you'll eat during these hours that are close to the time of matzah, you're getting really close to the matzah sphere, then not only will you perhaps forfeit l'teyavon, not only will you be eating al hasova, but in the worst case scenario, you might be eating an achila gasa, which means you're not yotz in the midst of matzah. That's how far we're afraid. And now the Gemara has a proof that what the Mishnah has in mind is to enjoin you from eating from the time of Mincha Ketana, which is Lekula, which means you only have to stop eating at 9.5 hours. Omer Avinu Tashma, we have a brisa. Now, the historical background of this brisa is that after the great Nitzachon of Chanukah, the Chashmonaim took over the Malchus. And that lasted for 2 centuries, although I have to tell you that most of the kings during those 2 centuries were as rotten as you could imagine. But there were a few bright spots, and there are a few malachim that were ksherim. One of them is called Agrippas HaMelech. And the Gemara tells us something interesting about Agrippas HaMelech. We usually eat breakfast in the morning. He ate breakfast in the afternoon. Who ragil? Hayaragil? I'm sorry. Vehu ragil lechol b'teisha shavos. He ate his meal, the first main meal of the day, in the ninth hour. You know, it's quite possible that he was so busy that's what he did. And now the Gemara tells the story that Oso Ayom, meaning on that day of Erev Pesach, lo yochal ad shetechshach, he shouldn't eat until darkness. If the Iser in the Mishnah is referring to the ninth hour, 9.5 hours, which is called Samach L'Mincha K'tana, then Hainu Rabuse D'Agripas. Now we understand the Brice is telling me a Chiddush, Afilu, the first word in the Brice is Afilu Agripas, meaning that even though he hasn't eaten the whole day, nevertheless we're not going to allow him to eat at the time of Mincha K'tana, Samach L'Mincha K'tana. In other words, you might say, well, let him eat something, A, because he's starving, and B, because he'll have room for another meal later on. No, the Chiddush is that even Agrippas, who ate his meal at the ninth hour, he's still enjoying from eating on Erev Pesach. B'teisha shalzu mechza, samach l'mincha ketan, ela imam, but if you'll argue that samach l'mincha gedola t'nan, the Mishnah is referring to mincha gedola, that's 12:30, sheshu mechza, is my Rabusi da Agrippas. What is Agrippas? Okay, Agrippas started his meal in the ninth hour, but the halacha requires you ready to fast 2 hours earlier. Chal Isra Le Meikara. Already in the 6.5 hours, which is some of Mikagdola, he had to abstain from eating. And therefore, we conclude based on this price, so that some of Lemincha Ketana Tnan. The Gemara says, Sof, my Rabusa d'Agrippas. I still don't really appreciate the Chiddushir of Agrippas. Hamatyale Zman Isura. In other words, even though he would eat his meal in the ninth hour, that's before Samach L'Mincha, and now he's continuing his meal into 9.5 hours, then he's violating the Isur that's formulated by the Mishnah. So why did the Mishnah, why did the Brice have to say it? Even Agrippas enjoined from eating a meal after 9.5 hours, even though he started his meal at the ninth hour. Obviously he's enjoined, because you're not allowed to eat a meal after 9.5 hours. Mao de Tame, I would have thought Teshu shows la gripas. Ke arba shows the dan dummy. His breakfast is like our breakfast. His first meal is at the ninth hour. Our first meal is in the fourth hour, way in the morning, let's say 10 a.m. And therefore, if not for the time of this brisa, we would have said that just like in Stam Bnei Adam, who usually eat their first meal in the fourth hour, meaning in the morning hours, they're allowed to eat and eat and eat until they get close to the nightfall. We would have thought that in the case of an Agrippa situation, somebody who usually eats his meal at a very late hour, then for sure we would say that if he eats after the ninth hour, we're not worried about the fact that he won't be able to eat his night meal, meaning Agrippas, or somebody like Agrippas, would eat his first meal in the afternoon, and he'd be ready to eat his second meal in the evening, and he would be hungry at that time. So he's, in a sense, conditioned his body in such a way that he eats later, the first meal, and then he eats the second meal with a great deal of teyava, with a great deal of gusto. Kamash Malon, the Bryson wants to tell us, no, that even someone who fits into the category of Agrippas, we're still afraid that if we let him eat beyond the 9.5 hour limit, he won't be able to re-establish his teyavon, to re-stimulate his appetite, and eat the matzah the way it should be eaten. Now, when we say, and I said it at the opening line of tonight's Shia, that we have to starve ourselves on Erev Pesach, is that really true? It's not true. Amar Rav Asi, Aval matbil hu b'mine targima. There's no absolute prohibition of eating on Erev Pesach, even from Samach L'Mincha Ketana. You're not allowed to eat matzah. When I say matzah here, I mean matzah shira, because that will satiate you, and you won't be able to eat the matzah the way you're supposed to eat the matzah on the night of Pesach. But Rav Yosef points out, or Rav Asi, depending on the Girsa, that you're allowed to eat mine targima. Says Rashbam, what's mine targima? Mine targima means peros o basar al yidei tibul. Tibul means that in those days it was quite common, and it's probably coming back into vogue, that all the fruits and the meats that you eat with a kind of a sauce. You know, you dip it into something. And this you're allowed. Why? Why is it that if I eat fruits or meat on Erev Pesach, after the 9.5 hours, it's getting close to the evening, isn't that going to undermine and upset my appetite for eating matzah? So the Gemara tells the story. Rav Yitzchak, matvil biyarke, Rav Yitzchak would take vegetables, and matvil means he ate it with a sauce, whatever they dipped it into, on Erev Pesach, after 9.5 hours, and not only did it not disturb his appetite, but it even stimulated his appetite. In other words, there's certain foods that fill you up, and they rob you of your desire to eat. There are other foods that don't fill you up, and on the contrary, they induce and intensify your appetite. Tanya Namiyach, we also found this in a brisa. Hashamosh, if a person is serving the members of the household, Matbil Bivnei Me'ayin, he should take, we're talking about Erev Yontif, and on Erev Yontif we want to also make sure that a person has an appetite for the mitzvah of Sudas Chag, and this Shamash is preparing the meat for the Suda of Chag on Erev Yontif, and the Brisa advocates and recommends that he should eat the Bnei Me'ayim. The Bnei Me'ayim are the kishkis. That's the part of the behema after the behema is shechted for Kavod Yontif. That's the part of the, you know, let's say he has a piece of chicken liver or whatever he eats, or beef liver, and that's what he should do. V'nosnam lifnei ha'archin. And not only that, you should give some of these meats to your guests, and all this is going to facilitate eating matzah l'teyama. So it's really paradoxical. I don't know what the dietitians and the GI people are going to say about this Gemara, but the Gemara says that when you eat things that do not fill you up, then on the contrary, they have the opposite impact. They stimulate your appetite. The afal pishen raya ledover, even though I can't prove it to you, zeichel ledover, I have a little bit of a memory device based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. I'm sorry, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and the pasuk says, "Niru lachem nir v'al tizru el hakotzen." In other words, when you do charisha and you plow the ground, then you should get rid of the kotzen. You should get rid of any sort of a thorn before you plant. And this is all a mashal. It's a metaphor. It's trying to convey the message that when a person comes to, you know, just like when a person comes to seed his plantation, his sada, he shouldn't start with zriya immediately, but he has to prepare the field, make sure he gets rid of all the thorns in the field so that he can guarantee the success of his planting. So too, when a person is achila hakodemes shel dvarim she'enem asbiyim, poschim es b'nei me'ayim, just like the harisha and the plowing and the removing of the thorns will prepare for the zriya, so too, when a person wants to prepare his stomach so that he can eat a suda with b'teyavon, he should start with a harisha, some sort of preparatory stage. And what's that preparatory stage? To eat things that don't fill him up, because foods that don't fill him up will stimulate his b'nei me'ayim. They will increase his appetite. Rava the Gemara tells us, Havishasi chamra kula, kule mala yoma de pischa. Rava would drink wine all of Erev Pesach. During the entire day of Erev Pesach, he was drinking wine. I hope he didn't get drunk. Ki hechi, what was his purpose? Did nigere lilibe, in order to stimulate his appetite. Kidei, so that the nechel matzah tfei. Tfei means he'll be able to eat more matzah at night. So imagine drinking wine on Erev Pesach. You know, I find that wine fills me up. But the truth is, the poskim will point out that if you drink a small amount of wine, again, I'm not dividing it up into the specific volumes, but whatever it is, then it fills you up. But Rava would drink wine constantly, and the continuous drinking of wine would be ma'orer, it would arouse eslibo l'teyavon, so that he could eat the matzah l'teyavon at night. Amar Rava mino amidale, how do I know this? The chamra migra garir, this is very strange. If Rava knew it because of his experience, I don't know why he feels compelled to quote some sort of halachic source for this. This nan, because of a Mishnah, and here we turn to Daf Kuf Chesom and Aleph. Beina Kosos Halalu, meaning before he starts his Suda, and he's drinking, let's say he already drank, the first thing that you do in the Seder is to drink the first Kos of Kiddush. So he has the first of the four Kosos. And he's going to only drink the second Kos when he makes the Bracha at the end of Magid of Gal Yisrael. And Bein HaKosos Halol, since he hasn't started his Suda, he's in Ratzel Lishtos Yish, he's allowed to drink extra cups of wine. Now, let's say he already drank the second Kos. He hasn't yet started his Suda. So at this point, he's allowed to drink after the second Kos. So he can drink between the first and the second, and between the second and the third. But Bein Shlishi L'Ravi, now he's already in the throes, in the thick of his Su'uda, and it's Bein Shlishi L'Ravi, now he's not allowed to drink. Why?
It's after the
Su'uda. Why is he not allowed to drink? This is called, the Rashbam calls it, Nirek Himosif Ala Kosos. It looks like he's adding in other words, when he's drinking before the Suda, Rava says that's because the drinking stimulates his appetite. So that's considered like a normal kind of drinking to prepare you for the Suda. And that's not kimosif ala kosos. You're not drinking as a ceremonial ritual. But once the Suda is complete and you're no longer drinking in the context of the Suda, which means you've already recited Birkas HaMazon with a Kos Shlishi, now you want to drink wine after the Kos Shlishi before you're ready for the fourth Kos, which is the Kos of Hal, that you're not allowed to do because that's not going to stimulate your appetite. Obviously, you're doing it because of the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, but you're not allowed to add to the Dalet Kosos. The number four is critical. Why the number four is critical is an entire sugya in the Yerushalmi, whether it's Keneged this or Keneged that, Lishonos of Geula, or the Kos Shel Parodios, and so forth and so on. But nevertheless, Chazal made a takana that unless you're drinking wine, extra cups of wine for a reason, it has a logical purpose that might have been done on any day of the year, then it's Nira Kemosif Ala Kosos. The Iyamit Misit Said, if you're going to tell me that drinking wine fills you up, Amai Yishte, why are you allowed to drink between the first and the second, or the second and the third Kos? Ha Ka'achil L'matza Achila Gasa. If the wine is going to fill you up, then you won't be able to eat the matzah L'Teyavon. So how do we allow him to add Kosos? Okay, even if I grant you that somehow we'll skirt the problem of Nirik Yemosef ala Kosos, but nevertheless, you're going to be filling up your belly before you eat the matzah. So you drank the first Kos, that was the Kos of Kiddush. You drank the second Kos, which is the Kos of Magid. Now you're ready for Achilas Matzah. You drank extra Kosos between the first and the second Kos. That's going to fill you up. And the answer is no. It's not going to fill you up. Shema Mino de Migrar Gorir. Punkfaket, as we say. The opposite is true. Instead of filling you up, it's going to stimulate your appetite to enable you to eat Matzah L'Teyo. Rav Sheshes Aviyosef B'Tanisa Kol Male Yom Pischa. Rav Sheshes would fast the entire day of Erev Pesach. Why? Nema Kasova Rav Sheshes. Perhaps Rav Sheshes was of the opinion that Somach L'Mincha G'dol Atnan, that the reason why the Chachamim told you not to eat on Erev Pesach is because you might get distracted from the Karban Pesach, Umishum Pischahu, therefore Dilma Mimshech, Viasi Limnue, Milamevad Pischahu. In other words, Rav Sheshes was of the opinion, we'll soon see it in the Tanoim, that the earliest time for Korban Pesach is daybreak. Mm-hmm. Not the way we said before, based on the equation between Chametz and Korban Pesach, that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach begins and emerges simultaneously with the Issur Chametz, namely at noontime, but rather the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is midway between Erev Pesach, which means the evening of the 14th, and Lila of the 15th, and any time in between, if you go halfway, in other words, as soon as you tilt your way halfway from this Erev to the other Erev, after daybreak, then you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach. And therefore Rav Sheshes would fast the entire day, insofar as the entire day is the time for the Korban Pesach. Sovrala, because Rav Sheshes maintained, ki ha di omer av Oshia, omer av Elazar, like this Tana, who said, Machshir haya ben besera ben Pesach sheshachto shakris, biarbasar lishmo. Lishmo means if you shechted it for the purpose of a Korban Pesach. Umitzafra, from the morning, from daybreak, zman pischahu, that's already the time for the Korban Pesach. The entire day, the 12 hours of daylight in a perfect day, are suitable for the Korban Pesach. So if you shechted the Pesach as early as, you know, the 14th in the morning, Erev Pesach in the morning, the Pesach is kosher. Why? The Savar, because he interpreted the Pasuk, I'll read to you the whole Pasuk, in Parashas Bo, it says, V'shaftu oso kol kal adasjol bein harbayim. Now the word Erev, in plural, is arbayim, and bein harbayim means midway between the two Erevs. Bein Erev di esmol, the Erev going into the 14th, the Erev di ha'idna, the Erev of Leil HaPesach. And halfway between the two Erevs, between the bein harbayim, is the morning, is daybreak, of the 14th. So from that point on is the Zman HaKrovas HaPesach. Therefore, Rav Sheshes fasted from daybreak on Erev Pesach because he held that that's an Iser of Achila that emerges and coincides with the Zman of HaKrovas HaPesach.
But this opinion, sir, that Rav Sheshes follows Oben Betera, it's Dat Yachid, Lalacha?
I didn't hear the last word.
Is the Dat Yachid, what most people say, that you already shechts already?
That I can't answer you. I don't know. I think you're right that the Rabbanon Paskin against Ben Becerra, and the time of Korban Pesach is the same Bein Arbayim as the time of Tomichel Bein Arbayim, which means afternoon. But nevertheless, Rav Sheshes is entitled to his opinion, and he accepted the opinion of Ben Becerra. Amri, the Gemara says, no, we're not going to accept this interpretation of the Tainus of Rav Sheshes. And maybe now, Binyamin, we go back to what you said, that we have to paskin like the Chachamim Ben Beseira. So the earliest time for Korban Pesach is in the afternoon. Shiny Rav Sheshes, so why did Rav Sheshes fast on Erev Pesach, the entire Erev Pesach from daybreak? The Istnes Hava. He had a very sensitive stomach. His stomach was easily filled up. And he was a fellow who probably ate very little. And a little food, this is what they say about Rav Steinemann, who passed away, that he ate very little. And somehow it kept him going. The doctors would give him, you know, different kinds of capsules, I don't know, that would keep him going. And in the case of Rav Sheshes, he taught him tzafra, if he would eat a meal, any sort of substantial achila, let's say matzah shira, because again, matzah you can't eat on every place, but matzah shira is midei li'ur tolo avi mahani le'achil michle. By nighttime, he was still busy digesting that matzah shira that he ate in the morning hours, because he was an istinus, and he would be filled up and blown up, his stomach was blown up from the meal that he ate in the morning until the wee hours of the night, and therefore he had to abstain from achila even during the morning hours in order to guarantee. And anyone who's in this category of an istinus, I assume there's somebody out there who's an istinus, I haven't met one, but I'm sure it's a category, would have to start diminishing or refraining from achila as early as the morning, for a normal person, we start with mincha ketana. And if you abstain from filling up your belly with matzah from the 9.5 hour period, then we can guarantee that you'll eat the matzah b'teyomah. But for someone who's an istinus, Rabosai, at this point we begin to learn about the Seder. Finally, I really wanted to bring out a bottle of whiskey and celebrate this, because how long have we been
learning?
Yeah, it's Chavetz, right? But let's say, how long have we been learning already Arvei Pesachim? It's about 2 months, no?
No,
not since maybe. I don't know, time flies when you're having fun. But we really haven't touched on the Seder. And I promised you that B'li Neder will try to learn this perek in order to prepare ourselves for the Seder. So finally, you know, we can learn something that's relevant to the Seder. Okay, today we learned already about fasting on Erev Pesach. That might be relevant to the Seder as far as matzah is concerned. But besides that, so the Mishnah says, Afilu anish of Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyesev. It means that everyone, even a poor person, is obligated in the mitzvah of Heseba. Heseba, which literally translates as reclining, is identified with a concept called Derech Cherus. And again, even though in our sociology, it's hard to say that leaning and reclining is Derech Cherus, but at the Gemara's time, that's what they did. I think there's even... You know, there are even archaeologists who will tell you about how the Romans used to recline on a sofa and they used to eat. And that's called Derech Cherus. Now, I would have had a Havamina that in the case of an Ani, a poor person, he's not used to reclining. You know, he has very little food to eat, Nebuch, and he's not in the mood for Derech Cherus. But the Mishnah says, as an absolute blanket statement, with no exceptions, that he, the Ani, is obligated in Heseba. And when we eat the matzah, we're going to have to eat the matzah of Heseba. And Heseba, the Rambam says, is Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo. He has to sort of demonstrate that he is going out of Mitzrayim. He has to behave in a way that demonstrates Derech Cherus, and therefore he needs Heseba.
What's the Havamina that the Ani does not?
The Ani doesn't usually do Heseva. So for him, Heseva is something very unusual.
That's true of any mitzvah.
No, but you would have argued that it's painful for him to do it there, you know, Heseva. Maybe it's uncomfortable for him. He's not used to it.
What do you mean, Dafka the other, that you'd say the opposite?
Well, that's the maskana, that we say the opposite. No, but I'm just saying the Havamina was that for someone who's not used to reclining, then it's going to be uncomfortable for him to recline. That's what I would say.
That's a different way of looking at it. That's true, that you could say that parallels the modern person that also has difficulty reclining.
And we're going to have...
Maybe it's saying something along those lines.
We're going to have a shita, by the way, but I'm not in the Gemara, but in the Rishonim, that in our time...
We also don't know what we're doing, and it's uncomfortable.
Right, and we're going to have a shita in the poskim, and in many cases we're going to rely, it's the shita of the Arzarua, the Ravya, that in our time we're not used to this kind of eating, and therefore it's not Derech Cherus, so drop the ball on a seva.
But even so...
Okay, there are other Rishonim who say once the Chazal made this takano, it's going to apply even.
But we're going to parallel to that line. Just as the Ani, the Havamina is that it's difficult for him. It's not a
correct. That's position. He's not used to. He's not comfortable with reclining. Mm-hmm. It's that he doesn't have that positive experience from reclining. So for him, on a subjective level, that's not Chayav Adam Liros Esatzu. He's not showing himself to leave. That he left servitude into Cherus. Okay. Now, when do I do this reclining? Do I do it during the course of the entire meal? Do I do it only when I eat the matzah? Which matzah? There are two matzahs that we eat. Maybe there are three matzahs that we eat. There's the matzah's mitzvah. There's the afikomen. Then, I don't know if you know this, we're supposed to, this is an introduction to all the shirim that we're going to have for the rest of the Zman. There are two kizaisim of matzah that we have to eat. We have to eat one kizais matzah from the prusa, from the broken matzah, that's called achilas matzah l'shem mitzvah, and then we eat a kizais matzah of the shlema in order to fulfill the general mitzvah of any yontif called lechem mishnah. Now again, the Rambam has a different shita, but most Rishonim hold that you have to eat two kezesa. Now what about yayin? We have to drink four cups of wine. Do all four cups of wine need a seva? By the way, does anybody know the answer to that question?
Yeah.
They don't. Only two out of the four need a seva. Trouble is, we don't know which two, so therefore we do a seva for all four. But actually, in the theory, only two out of four need a seva. What about the rest of the meal? The Rambam has a shita that you should eat the whole meal by a seva.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend it. I tried it myself, but it was hard. Anyway, so the Gemara says the following. Itmar, we learned the following halacha. Matzah, tzarech haseva. Matzah needs haseva. Now the Gemara wants to know, what about maror? Maror is also part of the seder. It's also chayav adam lirasis atzmo. Maror ain't tzarech haseva. So the Rashbam explains that there's a fundamental difference between matzah and maror. Matzah is zeichel cherus, and maror is zeichel shibud. Avodim ayinu lefar mitzrayim. And when you're trying to demonstrate, well, let's start with Mara for a second. When you're trying to
shibud
means merirus, then reclining is totally inappropriate, and therefore Mara ain't sarkaseva. So the Rashbam wants to know, and this is picked up by the later poskim as well. Why does the Gemara say Mara ain't sarkaseva, as if to say, you know, it's right, you could have a say, but you don't have to do it. You know, as if it's optional. In the case of matzah, it's obligatory. In the case of maror, it's an option. That's not really true. There's no option of maror behaseva. Very difficult Gemara here.
Maybe there's like a technical question, but yeah. How does haseva like come into play? It's like it's introduced as if it's something that we kind of know about, or in other words,
as far as I know,
in other words,
this is what we're learning today.
Right. This is
Now
I'm just wondering, is there some way that it's introduced? In other words,
there is a medrash that says that a seva is derived from the word vayosef at the beginning of Parshas Mishalach, last week's parsha. I have no clue what the Medrash is talking about, because that Vayesev means that God takes the Jewish people around the long way around.
That's an interpretation. What,
the Rav has a whole piece on this. Why is that called Haseva?
Right.
Okay, so we'll leave that out for the time.
But again,
the Rav is also going to have a beautiful piece, which many parts of it overlap with the Brisker Rav that's published, as to whether Haseva is a general mitzvah or it's part of the mitzvah of matzah, part of the mitzvah of yayin. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to learn that piece together, but not tonight. Tonight I just want to get, you know,
that's what I'm getting at,
get my feet wet. You know,
this introduction of Haseva, or introducing Haseva, in what way is it introduced? In other words, does this become part of the mitzvah? Is it ma'akev? In other words,
that's what we're going to address tonight.
And let me just ask this as a general question.
We're going to try to give a name to the Shia. The Shia is all the questions you ever wanted to ask about Haseva.
and Chazal has the power to make it an ikuv in a mitzvah.
That's another fundamental question. Can Chazal, I'll give you an example. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says that if at nighttime you recite Kriyat Shema Behaseva, I don't mean literally Behaseva, I'm just using that term, but if you recline to recite Kriyat Shema, then you're not yotze in the midst of Kriyat Shema. Why? Because you did like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai took the pasuk b'shabacha, and they thought that you have to be b'shchiva. You have to lie down to recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus. We accept the shita Beis Hillel that b'shabacha means the zman shchiva. So the Gemara says that if somebody goes ahead and implements Beis Shammai, he's not yotze in the mitzvah. Why? Because the chutzpah neira that he did it the way Beit Shammai wanted him to do. The Gemara has another case in Sukkah. The halacha of Beit Shammai is that a certain size of a Sukkah, and if the Shulchan is outside of the Sukkah, you're not Yotzi. You are Yotzi. I don't remember all the details. And the Gemara says there also, you're not Yotzi Sukkah if you do it the way Beit Shammai wants you to do it. So we see that there is a precedent to a phenomenal revolutionary concept that the Rabbanon could, they have the authority to design a mitzvah and set up requirements in a mitzvah that can undermine the kiyuma mitzvah d'oraisa. So that's another discussion. And that, by the way, spills over into Masechta Kiddushin. For example, let's say I give a woman for Kiddushin, something that has value, d'oraisa, but the Rabbanan took away its value. Because the Rabbanan said that this chitik or d'oraisa, this kind of chametz, is asur min Rabbanan. And the Gemara goes as far as to say that the Kiddushin is not valid. And the reason for that is because the Rabbanan slapped an Isur Hana on this chametz, which the Torah doesn't recognize. And so this is a major issue. The one who really dedicates a lot of work to this is Rav Yosef Engel, if you ever heard of him. The Asma D'oraisa. He was a genius of geniuses. And he dedicated a lot of... He based himself on the Shagasari, came way before him, to try to prove that the authority of Chachamim is that they can somehow undermine a kiyum d'oraisa, even though according to Torah law you fulfill the mitzvah, the Rabbanan could completely negate the mitzvah. How that works, I don't know. That's why we need a whole shiur for that, which I didn't prepare. Okay. Yayin, what about drinking wine? Does it require a seva? Does it not require a seva? Itmar mishmeder of Nachman, tzarech has seva. Itmar mishmeder of Nachman, ain't tzarech has seva. Two versions. Below, please. Don't think that there's a machlokas. But rather, habitarte kisei kamoi, kase kamoi, habitarte kase basroi. One statement, one tradition of Nachman is referring to the first two kosos. The other tradition is referring to the second two kosos. Okay, but which tradition is referring to the first, and which is referring to the second? Says the Gemara, Amri le lahai gisa, there's some who say lahai gisa to this side, the Amri le lahai gisa say the other side. In other words, in the yeshiva itself, there was much focus about what this was all about. Amri la, some say lahai gisa, means trei kosi kamoi boya seva. The first two kosos need a seva. The Gemara is going to analyze why. And the second version will have it that the first two kosos don't need a seva, the second two kosos need a seva. So we're going to see that each set, whether it's the first two or the second two, has some sort of compelling reason for a seva. And therefore, if Rav Nachman said about one set that it needs a seva, the other set doesn't need a seva, we're going to be very perplexed as to try to figure out which set did he have in mind when he said it needs a seva, which does not need a seva. Amri lo lahai gisa, why? Trei kami, trei kosi kamoi, vayeseda hashtahu deka maskele lecherus. Now he's beginning the Haggadah. And when he begins the Haggadah with Magid, that's already cherus, meaning he's already involved in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, that we went from Shibu to cherus. Now's the time to do a seva and to demonstrate Bidera Cherus by reclining. Okay, fine. You have a very compelling, logical reason why the first two kosas need a seva. But I can say the same thing about the second two kosas. Well, when we get to the second two kosas, we drop the ball on CPTs to try them. What are we doing here? I mean, the very fact that we're drinking another two kosas means we're involved in Cherus. Says the Gemara, Trei Kasi Vasroi Lo Boyasema. Why? My da hava hava. Now I'm going to translate this literally, and it makes no sense, and I'm going to try to make some sense out of it. Literally, it means whatever happened already happened. As if to say, we already went out of Mitzrayim, that's old hat, that's history, and therefore there's no need to demonstrate Cherus if we already went out of Mitzrayim. And therefore there's no need for Hasema.
Well, the seaport, it does stop there. In other words, you're moving into just Sheva.
That's one step. Okay, can you say it a little better?
No,
yeah. That's bizarre. No. You see, everything you said is 100%. I'm interested in formulating something, an idea. So wait a second. Let's just, before we get to what Ramarin was saying, let's just backtrack for a second. We're saying that Maidahavaham, L'chora, I have a simple question. Before we get to the second set of kosos, let's talk about the first set of kosos. Why don't I have the right to say my dahava hava even with regard to the first set of kosos? You know, we went out of Mitzrayim, what is it, 3,500 years ago? I don't know the exact count. Michael, you'll figure it out for me because he's very good at this, at many things, but including this. So that if if 3,500 years have passed since we went out of Mitzrayim, then when I drink the first two kosos, I might as well apply the principle of my dahava hava. So the answer to that is chayav adam liros esatzlo kilu yatzam Mitzrayim. No, I have to re-experience the exodus from Egypt. It's happening now. It's not an old story. Ah, oy bazoi. Now we have to understand why the second set of kosos is my dahava hava. If we re-experience the Yetzias Mitzrayim, why do you limit it to the first two? So what's the bracha which culminates and coincides with the second kos? Gal Yisrael. Well, maybe at that point, Gal Yisrael, I finished, we'll call it Roman numeral number one. The first half of the Seder is dedicated to Chayav Adam Liris Atzmo. And when do we reach the pinnacle of Chayav Adam Liris Atzmo? When we drink the second kos following Gal Yisrael. So comes along Rabbi Goldschein, and he says, so what's Roman numeral number two? What are we doing after we finish the Suda? Now we're involved in Shevach Vodoya. I'm a little bit hesitant. No, I'll tell you why. I think you have to polish it up. Why? Because I would not want to rip and, you know, take the first two goals, say that that's devoid of Shevach Vodoya. We're going to talk about this over and over again. The Rambam Shita is that Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim itself is Shevach Vodoya. That the word Vigadeta in the Pasuk Vigadeta L'Bincha is not just to tell a story, but to thank Hashem. For example, in the Parsha of Bikurim, of Mikra Bikurim, it also says Vigadeti Ayom, and that's all about Shevach Vodoya, that God gave us the land, He gave us the fruits of the land, I'm bringing my first fruits. The word Haggadah means Shevach Vodoya. In fact, it's not coincidental that on Leil HaPesach we darshan the whole parsha of Bikurim in Parshas Ki Tovo, because that's the parsha of Hodoya, of thanking Hashem. So I'd like to just add one little point. The second part of the Seder, what I call Roman numeral number two, is a different geula. It's not the geula of Mitzrayim. It's the Gula Asida. And what paragraph kicks off that transition from the old Gula to the future Gula? Even earlier than that. Because the Maharal Miprag in his Haggadah says that at a certain point you have to raise your coats before you get to Allah. When's that? Shmoch HaMoscha L'Goyim. Interesting. What we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that there are goyim ashelo yaducha. Why not, you know, bring out your anger? What's the word I'm looking for? Why not
spread your warmth?
Spread your warmth, your anger onto those people. Shvoch hamoscha, pour your chema, not on us. We've had enough. Now it's time for them, you know, to suffer a little bit. That's what's called, we're asking for Rosh HaVaralo. And that's already related to the Gula Sida. Says the Maral Miprag, the cup of wine on a Haggadah, on Halil, should be raised already at the point of Shvoch HaMoscha L'Goyim. Because at that point, we're making the transition. And in general, again, it's not for now, because this requires a lot of analysis. And I worked very hard on this, and I'm still confused. Why is it that we split the Hallel into two parts? And the answer, but again, it's very complicated. I don't mean to, you know, I'm not trying to...
One's Yetzias Mitzrayim and one's the Gula.
The first half of Hallel is on the old Gula. The second half, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the second half of Hallel is on the Gula Sidu. Again, I'm telling you right now, it's complicated. This is the emes, what I told you, but how that works out. There are a lot of glitches and a lot of kashas. You have to smooth out a lot of edges, but that's fundamentally what it's all about. And therefore, since this night, the night of Pesach is the night of Geula, then we have an obligation not only to thank Hashem for the old Geula, but to already anticipate the ultimate Geula. And thank Hashem for the ultimate Gula. Here, Heseba is at a place. We have not yet experienced the ultimate Gula, And as far as the old Geula, the Geulas Mitzrayim, I da'ava hava. We've already demonstrated our derech eruv with the Seba of the first Kosev, but that's only one shita.
I'm saying the other shita now has you lifting the cup for the Geula Ha'asin. And your cup.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by lifting the cup? You got me a little confused here. We're talking about a seva.
Oh, yes, you're right.
V'yami lalahai gisa adarava trei kosi basroi by haseba. Haseba is appropriate for the second set of kosos, not the first set of kosos. Why? Hahi shaita. Here we become chronological, so to speak. We're looking at the clock. Oh. These cups are to be drunk close to when? Close to midnight. That's the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now I have a lot to talk to you about that, because Lamaisa, when do we go out of Mitzrayim? The next morning. So what does Gemara mean that that's the moment of Cheres?
Paro said time to leave.
Excellent. Okay, you could have said the Shia tonight, Rav Aaron. Okay, the real Yetzias Mitzrayim began at midnight. Coincides with Makas Bechoros. But let's just read the Gemara first. Trei kosei kamoi lo boi haseba. According to this version of Nachman, the first two cups of wine do not require seba. Dakati avodim ayinu kamar. We are able to recite avodim ayinu lefar b'mitzrayim. That's the kickoff of Sipritz Yisrayim in the first half of the Seder. Why? Because we haven't yet experienced Cheres. Cheres is going to come sometime about Chatzos Laila. So Rabosai, let me, before again we don't have time right now, we'll come back to this Bulineb next week to embellish this question about Chatzos Laila and whether it is the time of Cheres, not the time of Cheres, but I want to get back to the halachic vein. If you don't know, I'm going to see if I can make you fall into my trap. Let's see if I succeed. I'm telling you right up front, I'm trying to trip you up now. If you don't know whether to do a seva on the first two cups or the second two cups, what should you do, halacha
l'maaseh? All of us.
I think you're wrong.
No.
Why?
Because it's a suffix. It's a suffix derabbanan.
Excellent. Suffix derabbanan l'kula. And this is the famous Ran in Masechta Megillah. The Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, Tveria, which is a suffix, whether it should celebrate on Purim on Yudalit or Tesvav, because we don't know if Tveria was walled at the time of Yeshua ben Nun. The Gemara says, therefore, they should read the Megillah on both Yudalit and Tesvav. So here's a fascinating quiz question for you. Who has to celebrate 2 days of Purim? Not the Shani shall put him. Tveri. And there are a couple other cities that fit that category. Frek the Ran, I don't get it. Kriyas Megillah is only the Rabbanon. Why not say something the Rabbanon Lakula? Says the Ran, an unbelievable
yourself. You can't not read the Megillah.
Exactly. That if you apply Safek, the Rabbanon Lakula, and you're okay the mitzvah, you completely undermine the mitzvah, then we don't say something the Rabbanon Lakula. And the Ran would apply here as well. If you're going to tell me that the mitzvah is seva, at least as far as Yayin is concerned,
right?
Again, this goes back to the Chakir, whether it's one gentleman. But let's assume that every Maisa mitzvah, this Laila that requires the seva, is a separate kiyuv. If you undermine the haseva of both sets of kosos, you're left with no haseva at all. And therefore, let's read one more line in the Gemara, because I want to get this in before Mairiv. Right, the Talmidim are coming to say Giyazman Lakriyas Mashalarvis is Hashda did Marhochi vid Marhochi. Since we now have two versions, which set of kosos require seba? Is Idi vi Idi boya seba? We have a suffix, and therefore we're going to require a seba for both sets of kosos. We have to be machmir in a case of suffix. And here's where Michael asks the question, but suffix Rabbanan Lakula. Okay then.
That seems really assuming that it's ma'akev. In other words, if it's not a In other words, it's a derabbanan that's set up in such a way that it's ma'akev the mitzvah?
Well, not necessarily. Either it's a separate independent mitzvah of seva, or it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of yayin. But either way, it's a safek derabbanan.
No, we have to do it, although it's a safek that it would not go lekula.
No, I'm saying that for some reason the Gemara says here we got to go safek lechumra. Now, mimarashah. All right, we'll talk after.